So they sent us to school, all five of us, five children, three girls and two boys. And so four of the five succeeded in life and became rich. And three of them live in your country over here, spending your money probably. There was one in the family standing before you here that did not have any interest in studying or learning. Well, the IQ is not that good, and the interest was not there, so I was taken away from the fold, and I started doing drugs according to the people that are around us. So I became a drug addict at the age of 21, and it started increasing. Yet, because I was not seriously given directions by my parents, my mom is and father are farmers, so and my dad is like 35 years older than my mom, we didn't have a really good family to guide the children. And so I went out with the wrong crowd and I became a drug addict. Yet, I have to tell you, I flunked elementary school, grade school, high school, every school I went in, I did not make it there. And the principal told my mom, take this guy and send him to trade school. And they asked me, what do you want to be? I said, I don't know. I love motorcycles at that time. And I love girls. So you pick up whatever you want. I'll be that. And my mom sent me to trade school to learn, become an auto mechanic. Yet till now, I don't know the screw is left or right. So that's how much I learned. One day, they decided to send me away. There was a man that we know works in Saudi Arabia for the Arabian American Oil Company, and he said, bring him, I'll give him a job over there. I went there, and the only reason why my boss, he's from Texas over here, they're all Americans, the only reason he liked me is because I spoke a little bit better English than the local people, and because I have an American girlfriend in Lebanon. And so he liked me, and he says, okay, you're in charge. Go teach those idiots something to learn from the refinery. Well, I was wicked and corrupt, and there was nothing in me that will testify that there is something good in man. I was so corrupt, so on drugs, so on everything that is illegal I used to do. And so it was hard for me to get drugs in Arabia, but it was easy to make homemade whiskey. So it's they bring water, they put yeast in it and sugar and put it in the room over there for 2-3 months, and then they distill it and there comes alcohol. And so I got addicted to that kind of alcohol, and my life started going wrong over there. Yet I was desperate. I wanted to do something other than drugs and whiskey. So I found an American lady over there who didn't like her husband, so she went with me, and I ruined her life and she ruined mine. And then she said, okay, let's get married. I forget about that old man. We'll go. She's from Delaware. She said, we'll go live in Delaware and be happy ever after. I said, no, I can't do that. We have culture. You have a little boy. I don't want to ruin his life. She said, if you don't marry me, I'll tell my husband. And her husband is three times Brother Elias there, big man who can punch me one time and I'll be dead. But one day we were sitting, me and her husband at home, and she called. And she said, "This is your last chance. If you don't marry me, I'll tell my husband." I thought she was joking. And then she took the phone and she told her husband. And I don't know what happened. I gave him $7,000, six pieces of jewelry that I had, and he told me, "Go resign and leave this country before I kill you." So I resigned, and there was in Lebanon civil war. We had 15 years of civil war. I called my sister. She lives in Florida. And she said, "Do you have any money?" She worships money. I said, "Yeah, I had $147,000 at that time, and that was in 1979. And she said, "If you send them to me, I'll let you come and work with me." So I gave her the money, and she told me, "Okay, resign and come over here." So I resigned. I took a visiting visa and came to Florida, and she bought a motel on the beach for me. And the beach at that time, it was probably Carter's days, and the beach was full of Mexicans coming from Cuba. And there was chaos at that time. So I was doing drugs, and my drug habit became more and more, because drugs in Florida was available on the streets. And at that time, there was a new law that came up that if they caught you with drugs, you get a ticket only, you don't go to jail. So that was fun for me. One day, my sister found out that I am a drug addict, and she kicked me out. So I asked the gardener, "Where shall I go? I mean, I don't want to stay in Florida. All these mosquitoes and mug and this and that." He said, "What do you want?" I said, "I want good weather, sunshine, and blondes." He said, "California." So I packed everything and I said, "California, here I come." I went to California and I don't know anybody over there, and I stopped to get water and things. I met a hairdresser from Lebanon. He said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Nothing, I don't know where to go." He said, "Wait for me. I get off at 4 and then I'll take you home with me." So I stayed and he took me home with him. I stayed with him a couple of weeks and he found out I am a drug addict. He kicked me out too. So I went to the beach, to Orange County, the place that you have the surfers over there and the druggies and everything. I bought there a gas station, like all the Arabs, you know, either a liquor store or a gas station or whatever, you know. And then I was in Santa Ana, and it was a Mexican area. And I said, "Well, when in Rome, do what the Romans do." So I bought a Mexican restaurant. And I don't know anything about burritos or tacos or jalapenos or whatever. This was not my cup of tea. So I hired a Mexican guy to run the show. And every day I see this guy going out on coffee break, and he takes the Bible, goes to his car, and he reads the Bible. And one day I got mad, really mad at him. I went out and I said, "Didn't you memorize this book yet? Every day you read this book, you read. What is this book gonna do for my business?" He said, "You know what? I love you because you give me money more than I deserve. But I have to tell you the truth." I said, "What is it?" He said, "If you die today, you're going to end up in the pit of hell." I said, "Who, me?" He looked around. He said, "Yeah, there's nobody here except me and you. You are going to die and go to hell." I said, "No, you got it wrong. our neighbor there, he is a crook. He deserves to go to hell. Me, I'm a nice guy. So then he preached the gospel to me. He told me, it is not by works. It is by knowing somebody. I said, somebody, who is that? He said, it's Jesus. I said, you must be kidding. You know, in our country, Muslims and nominal Christians are fighting. And the Christians are losing the war. So what did Jesus Christ do for these people? He didn't do anything. And then he explained to me that the Christ you worship is different than the Christ that is in the Bible. You have to know the difference. And he said, look, it's Wednesday night. We don't have any customers. I am going to church. You want to go with me? I said, no, man. I do breakfast. I do lunch. I do dinner. But I don't do church. He said, what are you going to lose? Come with me. I said, no, I'm going to clean the house. He said, I'll clean the house for you if you come with me to church. So I was stoned out of my mind. I said, okay, I'll do with that. So we went to church, and it was a Mexican church, very small. People that speak half Spanish, half English. And I was warned in Colorado not to say Chicanos. So I'm not going to say Chicanos for you. These people were Mexicans, and they speak half English, half Spanish. I didn't understand anything of the sermon, but there was a song there that affected my heart. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord. I kept thinking about that. They gave me a Bible, and it was some kind of a Copeland Hagen type of church, and then I went. I went home, and I threw the Bible in the closet, and went back to my old habit. I was a person that loves action movies. I sit all night watching action movies. And so I was flipping the channels to find out a good movie to watch that night as I roll my cigarettes and put my pot in there and do all kinds of terrible things. There was a guy that came as I was flipping the channel from the open door in California. And he said, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Three times he was saying, read your Bible. So I thought, oh, yes, I have a Bible there. I went, brought my Bible, and I opened it like that. Oh, it's the wrong. I opened it like that, and it says, Jesus walked the earth healing many. And I thought, is this true? I mean, what am I reading? Jesus walked the earth healing many. And I started crying because I was using $100 every day to buy drugs, all kinds of drugs. And that sometimes it's not enough. So I cried and I cried and I cried, and then I dozed and went to sleep. And the next day I woke up. And I remembered what happened to me. I said, oh, Jesus, if you are there and you really heal people, if you will heal me, I will follow you until the day I die. I don't know why I said that, but I said it. And you know what? I told him even, I don't believe that he can do that. And the next day, I was healed. I did not go to hospital. I did not go anywhere. You know, I used to go to bars and drink 17 bottles of beer every day. And I was healed. I was totally healed. I didn't put a patch. I didn't draw blood. I didn't do anything. I just was healed. The next day I was walking out. And I saw my man smoking. And I said, ugh, what is this smell? I used to smoke 3 packs a day. What is this smell? God has healed me completely. So I said, okay, now I have to go to church. I went to that church, the Copeland Hagen type of church, and I was learning the same thing they were doing. The first class was how to speak in tongues. She rode a Honda, blah, 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 blah. I didn't learn anything from them, but, you know, I could not get that going. Anyway, I stayed there doing my hair and looking good for Jesus and all the things that they do. One day, the pastor went up there, and the trend at that time, they started teaching, you are little gods. That came up. So I was seriously shocked. And I went up to him and I said, you know what? That's enough. I can believe that I am a little devil, a little thief, a little this, a little that, but a little God, you cannot convince me that I am the person of Waleed Bitar, the crook, the drug addict, the one who sells drugs, the one who does all these things. I am a little God? What are you talking about, man? I don't know. So I left. I went to Calvary Chapel. And many of you know Calvary Chapel, Pastor Chuck. And I stayed there for a year praying. And I go to church almost every day because in Costa Mesa they have a big church. 30,000 people come per week to that church. Every day they have a service, women's above 50, below 50, children, college and career, this and that. All of those I went for the services. Now, forgive me. After I started looking at the amount of people that come in there, while Chuck was preaching, I said, well, you know, those are all gringos and I don't know how to deal with them. I need a small church where I can say, this is Ed, this is Joe, this is Waleed, this is, and I will know them all. So I went to another Calvary Chapel. It's a smaller type of church, like 50 people. And I stayed there for a year. Though, after I became a Christian, God made sure that I lost all my money. So I started working in a gas station for a Jordanian guy. And he gave me, at that time, minimum wage was $5. He gave me $8 because I was not a thief. He was doing the accounting and he found out that his own brother, flesh and blood, was stealing him. And when I gave him the money, I was giving more than his brother. So he gave me $8 an hour. I was very happy and I started praying because I had the night shift. I pray all night and listen to Calvary Chapel radio station. One day they started announcing, my 10 minutes are over, oh Lord. I started announcing that they have a Bible college. And the Bible college are getting students enrolled. And I said, Bible college, wow, that sounds good, but I cannot even speak two good English words. And I don't know, I flunked elementary and flunked this and I flunked, how can I go to school? But I kept it to myself and I was praying all the time. And for a year, I did not tell anybody. After a year, after the service, the pastor says, into my office, I want to talk to you. So I went in there and he says, look, there's something wrong either with you or with me. I don't know. Every time I pray, I want to send somebody to Bible college. Your face, you come into my mind and my heart. I don't know. You want to go to Bible college? And then I cried and told him yes. So he says, I'll pay your first semester. If you're doing good, then we'll pay all of it. So I went to Bible college. I graduated. And then Pastor Chuck kicked us out because we reformed. You know, we believe the doctrines of grace. And he says, if you are here in a pastor's conference, if you are here and you believe the doctrines of grace, or you are a Calvinist, excuse me. If you are a Calvinist, stand up. Many that are Calvinists at that time, they did not stand up for fear of man. But I did. I didn't care. I was so in love with this Jesus, I stood up. And he said, many that stood up, like 10 people. He said, for you guys, I want to tell you with all my heart, we love you. But go find yourself another church. And then I went to a Reformed Baptist church in Riverside, California. And from there, God started putting on my heart to go home and preach and teach the gospel over there. And this is the story in short, and I should start my sermon, so...